Ladies and gentlemen, the World Wide Web proudly presents... Recorded live in Chicagoland, USA.
Or can you put it, like, in your little crotch area?
Sure.
A new episode of the podcast, Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. With your hosts, Luke Ski and Carrie Dalby.
All right, so this is a good time to start a podcast.
Hi, everybody. This is Carrie.
And this is Luke.
And you're listening to Luke and
Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
Episode number...
I think we're at 83.
83. April 11th, 2013.
Yep.
Also, we have guests...
Josh.
And...
Alex.
Hey, Alex, what's your name? See? There we go. Everybody...
Alex has quite the vocabulary at this point.
When he says his name, he says for Alex.
And when he says my name, he just says the K sound, which is for Luke. So it's kind of like Ernie laughing on Sesame Street, like or something.
I think it sounds like a cat hiss.
Yes.
And and he actually says mommy and daddy. Yep. Do you want more milk, Alex? He's sick today, and so am I. And Luke decided to come over anyways. Not because I was begging. I was actually being pretty nice about it, right?
Yeah, I mean,
I wasn't making you feel
You went. You went on a trip, and I'm about to go on a trip, so I,
It was our only chance here. Because you were going to come over Monday, and I said, no, this is, you know, ground zero, don't come over.
So, anyway... we wanted to record at least a quick segment with you so that you could tell us about your trip to Arizona.
Okay, well, it started off with the Herculean effort of getting me, Josh, Alex, two giant suitcases, a diaper bag, a giant backpack, a stroller, a purse, and a giant car seat. From the car to the check-in point, which Josh at that point in time didn't know about those handy-dandy carts.
Oh,
but don't forget the what happened to the parking ticket.
Oh, yeah. Would you like to tell that story?
Yeah, so we drive into the parking garage, I get the ticket, and I usually put the ticket in the CD player just because that's, you know...
And you'll always remember where it is.
Right, and 4 or 5 years. So it decided to hopefully load the ticket into the CD player.
Wow. So if you guys missed that, the CD player ate the ticket.
So I calmly reacted. No, I didn't.
Overall, things went pretty smoothly because we didn't have time to get into detail about it. But before the trip, we made the marital rule. Don't be a dick and don't be a drama queen. Seemed like, because I was worried about, you know,
mm-hmm.
dickish or drama queen behavior, you know, coming toward me or from me on the trip. No, honey.
Yeah,
that's... Like... Look, you can play with Daddy's phone.
Don't show
Look at what Daddy has.
Can you see Daddy's phone? So yes, there's a baby here, but we'll get to that later. So you're gonna put the baby warning on the podcast information?
Sure.
There's a baby warning.
For at least this first segment.
For only this first
segment. Look at that.
Oh, you're making a phone call.
You are making a phone call.
That phone is on your face. That phone is on your head? What's that called? Silly, that's right. Very good.
So,
after we finally got everything checked in and Josh managed to evade injury and after that I guess things went okay. We had to get somebody to switch seats with us because I was flying with Alex as a lap child in the middle seat and Josh's seat was in a middle seat 2 rows behind us. So we had the first person he asked to switch was like, fuck no. And I'll have to learn to stop swearing in front of my son. So then I asked someone, and then we got to sit together, and then the interesting thing that happened on the trip was he learned to kiss us after his enforced plane nap, which that was the only day in months that he ended up only having one nap all day, and it was a Herculean effort to get him to nap on the plane. But
where's your ball?
I remember I think it was after he was waking up, he gave us kisses, and I'm literally.
Wow.
You know, I mean, he didn't do that part, but he did this with his face, you know, mm-hmm. touching his lips to us, and he meant it as a kiss.
Aw. Hi, guy.
Are you going to give Luke a kiss?
He's probably going to want to call somebody. I know he's going to take the podcast.
Hey, you got a phone.
You have a phone, Alex.
You got a phone, buddy. Oh, is the phone call for me? Hello, yes, I'm sorry, I'm in the middle of a podcast right now. Could you talk to Alex, please? Okay, there you go, buddy. There's the phone back. Give it to Daddy. There you go.
Over here.
So, unfortunately, he did it a little bit on the flight home, and he hasn't really done it other than that. He didn't do it, like, in Arizona or since we got home. But I'm just excited that he's going to learn how to kiss, because he's just so sweet and affectionate, and it's awesome. And, so, then the hard part was over, right? No.
Yep.
Then we got to my mother-in-law's house in Arizona, and a half hour after we showed up, the baby proofer man showed up that we hired to come out to mm-hmm. her house to baby proof. And, meanwhile, Josh was dismantling the bed, found razor blade on the floor in the back bedroom where we were going to stay. Two exacto knives.
Wow.
Was that total or just that day?
Because
I know another exacto knife. Yeah, okay. And, like, we found, you know, screws and thumbtacks and all kinds of fun stuff for babies.
Alex.
But, you know, the baby proofer's job was to anchor furniture, set up a gate, drawer locks and cupboard locks and electrical outlet protection. So basically what he did, he was very professional, and my mother-in-law who had apprehension about that process was very pleased with how it turned out. And then we went to sleep, and the next day was Easter Sunday, and we met up with friends at IHOP, Josh's old school chums, and then I think it was the day after that. Not only did we have the baby proofer come out, we had ordered like $150 worth of crap from babiesrus.com to be delivered. So we had a little travel high chair thingy, baby food, diapers, wipes, a couple extra toys and books that were on clearance. You're gonna need more paper towels than that. Alex, just
mind him for a second.
It's fine. He can get wet. Okay. He's not wearing that out to the bed. Let him play with it, see if I care.
Alex just spilled his cup of water on the floor, and he's fascinated by it. He's a scientist. So
now there's no water left.
Easter.
The day after Easter, we finally ate some chocolate bunnies, and I think that was the day that Alex renamed Grandma Karen to Nanny.
Yes.
And that's gonna be her name forever now.
That's what we called my mother's mother.
Nanny?
Nanny.
Can you say Nanny, Alex?
Nanny.
Yeah. Very, very good.
So cute. So I was surprised she was okay with that, because I thought she just wanted to be straight up grandma. But all she meant when she said that was, no, I don't want to be Grandma Racy or Mrs. Racy. And I don't know if anybody does that anymore. So, We ate at Native New Yorker, which is really, 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 really good chicken wings place that is ironically not in New York, but it's only in Arizona.
Only in Arizona.
It's called Native New Yorker.
Surprise!
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 He did a lot of the William Shatner surprise face, and he's doing it right now, in fact.
Wow.
Visual joke for an audio medium. So
yeah.
You can link to that YouTube video.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Surprise!
If he forgets, then just go to...
He's starting to get the whole mouth thing, too, because in that picture, Shatner has a O-shaped mouth of surprise, and he's at least getting to the point where his mouth is open when he does it.
Uh-huh.
Ah, surprise!
Yeah. Sometimes he even tries to make a serious face when he does it.
Yeah, well, that's...
I mean, he's a little actor. It's hilarious.
And he's learning from the master himself, William Shatner.
Yes.
Yes, so... there's a Star Trek board book, in case you don't watch the video, or there's a Star Trek board book called Star Trek, A Book of Opposites, where on, one, many, and the one page is What's-Her-Face with one tribble, and the many pages Kirk with a bunch of tribbles, and then there's a page where it says calm, surprised. The page where it says calm is just, any random picture of Spock. And the page where it says surprised is Shatner holding his hands flat, like kind of jazz hands out, and old face, just like a really hilarious, over-exaggerated...
It's William Shatner.
And initially, Alex was the one who initiated this mimicking of this William Shatner picture, but Josh is the one who kept egging him on to keep doing it again and again. And... The only thing is he faces his palms towards... Alex faces his palms towards his face, whereas Shatner faces his palms out. But it's still freaking adorable.
Yay!
Surprise!
So, let's get back to your narrative of what was happening.
Well, that's where I took that video. Oh. In Arizona, I took the Shatner surprise video.
Yes.
I mean, you seem to think that there's going to be a whole lot more to the story, but there's not.
Yeah.
Aww.
Can you say mommy?
Mommy.
Yay!
Yay! Can you say Luke?
Can you say Luke? He did the Shatner surprise thing.
Because Luke is a ham, just like Shatner.
There he goes.
There he goes.
Nope, now he's putting what?
Paper towel on his head. Because he's silly.
That's very silly! Silly.
I don't know where he got this putting stuff on his head thing.
Can you say blue ball? Blue ball?
Blue.
Can you say banana?
Banana.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
That was great. Can you say baby? That's a new one. Baby? Can you say baby again? Can you say baby?
He's busy.
He said B, but I covered it up with talking. Anyways, I did record it on my phone. I can play it for you later. There he goes.
So.
You're so smart. You're so cute. There's not much more that happened. We did a pool attempt. Which the pool is too cold, so not much happened.
It's unheated, and so it's usually, I mean, they used to heat it all the time, even though it's an outdoor pool. It's kind of the norm out there, because an unheated pool isn't warm enough to swim in until it's been over 100 degrees for like a week or two.
Josh went back to Native New Yorker with one of his friends, but I didn't. Alex ended up maintaining the same schedule that he maintains here, and since it's 2-hour difference, that meant he was getting up at 5 and going to bed at 5. So, you're all wet!
Are you doing kick?
And the only thing he did when we went to the pool was he was just kind of chagrined, and like every 30 seconds he'd go, wah wah! 30 seconds later, wah wah!
He's having fun with wah wah right now.
You're gonna love the pool. So
when you get older, we'll take you to the Wisconsin Dells, and it'll be awesome.
You know, we ate a lot of burritos.
We
attempted to watch. We went to Target twice. We attempted to watch Toy Story with Alex, but he was mostly fairly disinterested in the existence of the TV or anything on it, except for the car chase scene at the end of the movie, mm-hmm. because Alex is obsessed with cars. And now he's doing manic glee face while he bangs a cup.
Can you say car,
that was,
Alex?
Yeah. That was one thing we didn't see much of in Arizona was manic glee face, and he screamed every time I left the room. Like, he was a fairly happy camper as long as I was there, but I wasn't even allowed to go poop by myself or anything. Nope. And showers were hell. And you know, eventually he really got to love his nanny and gave her a couple hugs on his own. And we saw our friend Mike, and we had some Starbucks, and I ate a lot. I gained some weight. And well, am I missing anything important
no,
here?
No, that's before the exciting trip back.
What was exciting about the trip back?
Well, there was we got past security, and we realized...
Oh, Josh has to tell this story.
So we got past security, and we realized we were missing the baby bag.
The diaper bag.
So, you know, I was holding my tennis shoes in one hand, I had my belt in another, and I was wearing a Dungeons & Dragons t-shirt. So,
a red Dungeons & Dragons t-shirt,
so
and white socks.
Like, 5-10 minutes before the flight was boarding. And this is, it's Sky Harbor, it's basically, it's, you know, O'Hare-ish as far as size is concerned.
Yeah, it's not as big as O'Hare, but it's pretty darn big.
Yeah, so basically I ended up sprinting past the going back out of the checkpoint. I didn't put my shoes on, so I'm running down the escalator.
Holding his shoes in one hand, his belt in the other hand.
And going down to the level
this
down
is,
below
this
that.
Is what, meanwhile, I went through the checkout with...
It basically, I ended up having to run about 200 yards or so. I ran across the baggage claim area, got into an elevator, and shared the elevator with some people who were kind of looking at me and trying to look away, because apparently if you're 6'5", wearing a D&D t-shirt,
and
breathing
no
really
shoes.
Hard, holding your shoes and your belt in your hand... People get out of your way. So,
look at you cruising.
People assume you're LARPing.
Well, that's probably. They didn't want to get in the way.
Oh, you better finish the story quickly.
Okay.
Somebody else.
So, anyway, the baggage was still where we left it, which is a great testament to airport security. And then I run back up and I go past the TSA guy, kind of cut through the line, and say, "Yeah, I already went through here," and he just waves me on.
Hey. Oh, you didn't tell me that part.
Nope,
the illusion of safety.
Yeah, well, that's all security theater. Right.
Sorry about the screaming. Alex just wanted to have help getting on his little tricycle that Barb and Gerald gave him.
Is that the end of Arizona Adventures?
The only thing else to say was Alex did, he went in, he willingly sat in a shopping cart twice. At Target, which was the first, but although I'm worried that I should have, I should have sanitized that cart, because I'm wondering if that's where we got our sinus infections. He also learned how to climb his nanny's couch.
Ah.
And I'm spelling it out because since he got home, he hasn't realized that he could probably do that at home. And
you'd like to delay that.
I'm happy to delay that, because once he figures that out, then I'm never going to be able to leave the room even to pee. But he did a great job. He went down feet first and everything. Like, you know, he's great at that. So. And.
Silly.
Well, that's.
That's about it, I guess.
Well, cool. Well, there's at least one story I wanted to tell you before we end this segment.
Oh, well, also, and Josh has got an anger story from today that has nothing to do with Arizona.
All right.
Did you want to do that first?
Sure. Why don't we do that first?
Okay. This is really fast. We had a storm up here. The really fantastic cabling job that brings the phone cable, which we don't use, and the Comcast cable, which we do, into the house from the back pole. Basically, it has a midpoint on top of the garage. That piece was destroyed or kind of started falling off, so everything, the cable is dangling precariously in the backyard.
Cough, cough, cough.
Called up Comcast, said, hey, you know, we got this long cable coming across the yard. It's about ready to collapse, and, you know, the guy wire.
I don't know if they're catching any of this.
And so he says, he listens to me, he's like, yes, sir, I'm sorry to hear about that. Have you tried resetting your modem? To which I understand how the script works, so I said, yes, it didn't work. The cable is still dangling.
Did you say that?
Yes.
You didn't tell me that part. That's hilarious.
And then without a beat, he just said, okay, we will schedule a person to come out and look at the cable.
The best part about that story is, what if it worked? What if you had reset your modem and you looked outside and suddenly the cable went... It's like, wow, Comcast is the best cable company ever.
So, you were going to tell me
okay.
One story from Marcon?
So, yeah,
Can Alex see that?
Yeah, if he doesn't open it. Sure, hi!
Well,
look at you! You're
really good, and he probably can't figure out how to open it.
Let's see, I believe
that... Just hand it to me, I'll make sure it's closed.
Okay. Okay, so...
There we go.
On the topic of sneaking snacks into the cinema, I believe I have broken my adult record for sneaking something into the cinema,
okay.
Food-wise. Now, I say adults because I snuck a lot of stuff in when I was a kid, but I was sneaking it into mainly the Genoa Theater, which is like playing, you know, a video game on the easiest novice level.
Yeah.
So, you know, I know I at one point back in those days, I snuck in a 2 liter of soda and a box of Little Debbie's into the Genoa Theater, and the guy didn't notice, you know, because I was wearing a big, like, stupid black trench coat I got from I can't remember where I got that thing, Goodwill or something. And, you know, they were just stupid and they didn't care. So it's kind of like, that was my, you know...
That's your youth record.
My youth record. I have to say, I'm pretty sure I've beaten my adult record for sneaking something unique into the movie theater to eat. Yeah, buddy.
He's trying to pull you in for a kiss.
Oh, okay. Hi, buddy. Want to give me a kiss?
No, you're supposed to kiss him.
Want to kiss? There you go.
Aww.
Nice, very sweet.
Aww.
Aww, big hugs for Luke.
Yep.
So sweet. Ah, he's trying to get at the mic.
Microphone.
He has ulterior motives.
Yeah, buddy.
Here,
I'll hand it over to Mama.
So keep telling your story.
So, think of a chain restaurant. What do you think? Try to think of a chain restaurant that the food there is impossible to sneak into a movie theater.
Domino's Pizza.
Yeah, pizza.
No.
Okay, not pizza.
All you can eat salad bar.
Chicken, like KFC.
Nope, and no, but his is a bit closer. Here it is, the all-time record: BD's Mongolian Barbecue.
You're
Oh wow.
So here's the story. Saturday night at Marcon, once the dealer room closed, I realized that I had a 4-hour span of time between when I needed to be back to do something and I needed to eat dinner, and I was trying to decide where to eat. And so I looked at, they have a little kiosk there of like, what to do in the downtown Columbus area, and there's like a whole kind of district type of area there. Yeah. Yeah. Hi, guy. Look, it's the phone. Phone. So, hello. So,
aww.
In looking at these little maps for what's in this little area around this arena, I saw a movie theater. I had no idea there was a movie theater hiding very, you know, close to where the Marcon happens every year. So I looked up to see what movies were playing, and I noticed the movie Admission, starring Tina Fey and other people who were cool, was playing, and I'm like, all right. The timing on that works out. I could go hit a restaurant, get some food, and go see the movie. So, and I knew that there was a BD's there, and so I went to BD's, you know, ordered my food. But then it was kind of like once I got too far along in the process, I realized I would not have time to adequately eat all of this food. So I basically made up an excuse with the wait staff person saying, "Oh, I just got a text. They need me back at the convention. Can I get this boxed up to go?"
And she said, sure. So she boxes it up and, you know, in like a plastic container that seals up completely and put it in one of their bags. And at that point, I'm not thinking I'm going to sneak this in the movie theater to eat it. I'm thinking I'm just going to sneak this in the movie theater so I can eat it later and, you know, just, you know, keep it in my coat because this is silly. I couldn't possibly get away with eating BD's Mongolian barbecue in a movie theater. So I get to the theater. I have my big red winter coat on.
Heard the word silly and he goes, silly! Yeah.
So I have it stuffed in my coat so that they can't see it. I kind of have my arm pitched up like this with my wallet in my hand so it looks like it's up there for a reason, when the main reason is it's holding on to...
Take the mic.
Here. Oh, I'll take this, and you take this. So, and then I grabbed, like, a soda, and I got some kind of candy thing just so I could look less conspicuous, you know, and I go into the theater. And as I get into the movie theater and the trailers have started, I look at the shape of the theater, and I realize that there's only one entrance or exit on the far left side. So I'm like... maybe I'll go all the way to the far right side and all the way back up into the corner. And then I did that, and then I'm like, maybe I'll sit one or two seats in so that people can't directly see me if they're standing at the bottom of the aisle. And then once I sat down, I kind of, and got settled in as the credits were playing, I realized, you know, if the people that are, you know, 20 feet down the aisle from me aren't noticing what I'm doing or aren't going to rat me out... I could theoretically get away with opening this package and eating this food because I had a plastic fork in there. So, you know...
By this time, it probably wasn't hot enough to have a real strong odor.
Not really, no.
Okay.
I mean, so basically as the various loud points of the trailers were happening, I popped open the thing and, like, put it to my side and just kind of... I had my coat in my lap and the food sitting on the coat... in a way that made it a little bit not noticeable, other than the fact that, you know, I'm holding a plastic fork and bringing food up to my mouth. And you know, by the time the movie started, I was all set. So I actually ate the entire thing of the BD's Mongolian barbecue while watching the movie.
That's awesome.
And then when I got done, I was able to, like, pop it all back into place, put it in that white bag, and I actually smuggled it all the way out and then threw it out just because I didn't want to be caught. So I'm just kind of proud of myself. That was like the most epic win victory point of the weekend was sneaking BD's Mongolian barbecue into the movie theater and eating it. So that's my new record. So
you can have milk.
So I think we will
give you any milk.
We'll wrap up this segment now and we'll.
Well, I'm wearing bubblegum pink. Thank you for asking.
Yes.
And describe the. Shirt. I guess
it is a desert scape with many cactuses and a cowboy on a horse with a dog, and it says Casa Grande, Arizona.
That's the
otherwise known as Casa Grande to the locals.
That's the little hole of a town that we stayed in.
That's where I'm from.
Yep. And that's what color pink Carrie is wearing today. So
and sorry, I can't be on the rest of this podcast, but I fail at non-parenting things right now, so...
Well, it's like you went on a trip, and now I'm about to go on a trip, so this is our one chance to record something like a podcast and post it so that we don't go, like, 4 or 5 weeks without posting something, So thank you for...
Luke's gonna wing it for the rest of the episode, I guess.
Yes, so thank you, everyone, for putting up with the babiness of Alex for the past... 29 minutes.
It was pretty cute, though.
It was pretty cute. Yes, exactly.
You want mommy?
All right.
Mommy?
Can you say mommy?
Can you say mommy, Alex? What does a bear say?
What does a monkey say? What does a sheep say? Yeah. What does a cat say? Meow, meow. What does a dog say? Bow, wow. What does a duck say? Quack. And what does a snake say? And he knows many more as well, because he's a genius, baby. Yeah, okay. Now you can wrap it up.
Say bye-bye. Say bye-bye.
Can you say bye-bye, Alex?
Can you say bye-bye? Can you say blue ball? There we go.
There we go. All right.
Hawaii. Hatsu. One, two, three.
This is what happens when you give Logan a 4-track. He writes such stupid songs all the time at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Boop, boo.
He lies awake and thinks of lyrics that are stupid, really stupid. Listen to these lyrics, aren't they stupid?
Snowman and me, or is it me and the snowman? Bringing the sound straight to your town, and now it's time for the showman. Who would ever believe that me and the snowman, we could be best of friends? Given the probabilities, still you see, here comes me and the snowman, the snowman.
Some other famous acquaintances like Lizard and Fish. Oh, what a pair. One lived underwater and the other breathed air. On a shelf in a pet store on aisle 13, Lizard and Fish would sit together and dream. And Lizard said,
Fish, how's the water today?
And Fish said,
wah, 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 wah.
And Lizard said,
somehow we'll both get away, and we are refugee Lizard and Fish.
What's your name?
I'm Fred the Beard.
What's your name?
I'm Fred the Beard.
What's your name?
I'm Fred the Beard.
Well, I ain't never seen a beard with a name like Fred.
Now I'm Fred the Beard.
Yeah. Hello, Fred the Beard. Hello, Fred the Beard.
I just bought a calculator at the corner store. Brought it home an hour later. Added up the score. If you really love me, darling, count it up and see. Solve our problems with some trigonometry. The square, the sum of the hypotenuse of the radian times the denominator. I love you.
Happy Noodle versus Sad Noodle. Happy Noodle versus Sad, Sad Noodle.
Thinking on his feet, Sad Noodle uses his head as a whip and tried to trip Happy Noodle when he slipped and he flipped. Face first on the ground with a sound like a wet noodle slap on the ground kind of sound. Then Happy Noodle wrapped Sad Noodle up around a tree. Said, see, Sad Noodle, don't you mess with me, cause I'll be the best noodle that will ever be. Because I'm
happy Noodle versus Sad Noodle. Happy Noodle versus Sad, Sad Noodle.
OHMYGODIMONFIRE.
Do the confusion till your head falls off.
Head. Counting five in the dark bed.
Head. Do the confusion till your head falls off.
Head.
Your head falls
head.
Off.
Head. Head falls off.
Monkeys make a moray out in public, providing little children with a view.
Kissing little children!
They're lewd and they're indecent, and there's nothing we can do.
Daddy, why is your voice so feminine?
Monkeys are bad people, and so are you.
I'm gonna go feed the Goombas.
You can make huge coins materialize, shoot fireballs out of your hand. You can grow 10 times your normal size. That's what it's like in Japan. There are big green pipes sticking out of the ground and bricks floating in the air. There are mean little turtles walking all around. That's what it's like when you're there.
Villain who has no pants.
No pants.
No pants.
No pants.
No pants.
No pants.
He's evil and he wears no pants.
No pants.
No pants.
No pants.
No pants.
No pants.
Everybody get your pants on. Get your pants on. Get your pants on. Get your pants on. Everybody get your pants on. Get your pants on. Everybody get your panty pants on.
My friends all said you lost your head. Now what are you trying to do? You've been keeping your neighbors up all night, saying what the hell's the matter with you? This might sound mean, but you think a machine is gonna leave your feelings hurt. You're gonna dig straight down to the center of the earth and find out that there's nothing there but dirt. Just dirt.
Just dirt.
Yes, dirt.
Yes, dirt.
Dirt.
No,
no women,
just
dirt.
Bark dirt.
What the cat?
What the cat?
the cat.
Put the cat in the sink.
Put the cat.
Put the cat.
Put the cat in the sink.
On channel 27 at 2:45, I saw the craziest thing that I ever did see. No cash, no checks, no COD. So I called them with my credit card, quick as could be.
It's got a titanium
cranium
chip in the brainium.
Pentium,
the best representative
of the human surrender, and that'll be that. I'll say
welcome to the planet of the robot cat.
So when I say roll, you say bot. Roll,
bot.
Roll,
bot.
When I say bot, you say cat. Bot,
cat.
Bot,
cat.
Word to the R, to the O, to the B, to the O, T, C,
to the A,
to the T. So when I say robot, you say cat. Robot,
cat.
Robot,
cat.
When I say roll, you say bot.
This is what happens when you give Logan a medley.
Brought to you by Fargo!
Now, who is Kang the Conqueror? Is he Nathaniel Richards, a scholar born in the 40th century?
Yes.
Is he Pharaoh Ramatot, born in Egypt, circa 2950 BC?
Also yes.
Is he Victor Timely?
Yep.
Victor Timely Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Victor Timely III.
He's all the Victor Timelys.
Is he someone called, let me check this, the Whisperer?
According to Wikipedia, yes.
Is he Immortus, Lord of Time?
Inexplicably, yes.
Isn't he also Iron Lad?
I'm afraid so.
And Marcus Kang, the 23rd, the Scarlet
yes.
Soldier?
Yes!
Everybody. Everybody.
Everybody.
Everybody.
Everybody.
Everybody.
Everybody.
Everybody.
Everybody.
Everybody.
Everybody.
Everybody's
Kang the Conqueror. Spider-Man, Iron Man, Ant-Man, and Amy Man, too. Everybody's Kang the Conqueror. That policeman, the pizza man, your mailman, and even me and you. He was your date to the prom, and your best friend Tom, and your pen pal from Wisconsin. He's your favorite movie star.
He's Jamie Farr.
And your high school best friend's mom.
Tom's mom?
Yes, everybody's Kang the Conqueror.
Everybody?
Blue totem, blue man, look it up and you will find it's true. Everybody's Kang the Conqueror.
Surely you don't mean everybody.
He's the Lord of the Seven Suns.
You're making this up.
Check the Ohatmu. When he was Kang Prime, he went back in time. He was Hitler and Genghis Khan. He hit the rockets from a Shogun warrior, and he left my head like sun. Cause Kang is the world's worst supervillain. He's also the second worst supervillain. His plans include traveling back in time to compete against himself for slots 3 through 99. Because everybody's Kang the Conqueror. Every single man, woman, boy, and girl.
Okay, I think I've got this now. So what you're saying is that everybody's Kang. Hold on a minute. The Conqueror?
Yes!
Every single person in the world.
He's Johnny Reed and Sue and their friend Ben, too. He's the drunk guy on the corner.
Yes, he's Victor Von Doom and Finn Vancouver.
He's every man and woman in this room.
Let's hang with the gang. People in your neighborhood, they're
Kang the Conqueror.
Hey, Kyle.
Hi, Luke.
Well, guess what? You're on bad rapport right now.
What? Oh, man.
And we're totally not going to talk about cartoons.
Okay.
I recorded a segment earlier at Carrie's place with her talking about her trip to Arizona and me telling her one brief story from MarCon. So
Carrie's Place the short-lived spin-off of this show?
It's a... I had a reference and now I lost it. Damn it. Who did all those sitcoms? Freaking
Norman Lear.
That's what I was going to say. Damn it. Oh! Bad comedy person. So anyway, the point is, I realized that if we didn't do some kind of quick episode of Bad Rapport before I left on this trip, then it was going to be like a 4 or 5 week span between episodes. So
that's not good.
So you know, with the, you know, just basically, I wanted to talk about give the quick recap on what I did at MarCon and be talking to somebody while I'm doing it, because it'd be stupid for me just to do it without, you know, another person there, and you know, stuff. So anyway, so basically, here's how MarCon went. I have this long history with MarCon. I haven't been there like every year. I've kind of been on and off since 1996, and there's a couple reasons why MarCon for me has a couple of like big emotional baggage type of things attached to it. One I won't go into. The other is that the people who used to run the Filk track at that convention flat out pretty much didn't like me or the type of music I was trying to do.
Whether, kind of your jam.
Yes, exactly. So I'm not sure if it was more about me being an obnoxious, you know, hyper self-promotional twerp, or if it was the fact that I was doing hip-hop music, or both, or whatever. I never quite fully understood why they hated me so. And when I say they, I'm not talking about everybody in Filk. I'm talking about a specific group of people who were involved, or used to be involved in running the Filk track at that convention and at other conventions. So those people are no longer involved. The people who are running the Filk track, they like me. They like the Fump. They want more music like people at the Fump to show up at MarCon. The problem is, the past couple of years, they have been stuck on Easter weekend. They used to be on Memorial Day weekend, and now they're on Easter weekend. So, it hasn't been a, the cons population has been like steadily decreasing over the years. Next year they're going to be on Mother's Day weekend, which may or may not be an improvement. We'll have to wait and see. So my point is, going into this con, it's like I'm dealing with kind of, you know, a dual level of, you know, kind of bum outedness, because I, you know, part of me keeps thinking about, oh, there's a whole bunch of people here, or a whole bunch of people used to be here that really didn't like me. I don't know how many of them are still lingering around. Meh. So that kind of bummed me out. And then another thing was bumming me out. So I was kind of like dealing with this baseline level of bummitude, you know, going into this con, hoping to, you know, come out of it having had some fun and having made some money. Because last year, I did not have a table in the dealer room, and this year the people were able to comp me one, which was very generous of them. So anyway, got there on Friday, hung out in the Filk room, did a few songs. That went fine. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the table in the dealer room was actually the Fump dealer table, so it was CDs by myself and Tom Smith and Toy Boat, though admittedly Toy Boat just had like one album and a t-shirt. But it did allow me to have at least some time hanging out with Tom Smith at the table, just talking and stuff, and it was cool. He gave me some names of various music-making programs that he'd recommend me looking into, you know, now that I'm trying to learn how to do GarageBand and other stuff like that. So
that's another thing that I can teach you while you're here.
Yeah, yes, that's been on my list of like, aha, Kyle can teach me the ways of GarageBand. So that I can, well, anyway, so that I can not rely on people like Chris Mezzalesta entirely. Saturday morning at about 10 a.m., I in one of the main performance-type rooms, I showed the puppet videos all back-to-back, and that actually went pretty darn well. For it being Saturday at 10 a.m., a decent amount of people showed up for it.
Saturday morning puppet show. Hell yeah!
Yeah, and I think the number of people kind of grew as the thing went on. So I had all of the videos on my iPod in a playlist, And my plan was that in between the videos, I was going to pause it and then talk about them, you know, and then play the next one or take questions or whatever. But I figured out that doing it that way, if I keep the player paused for too long, it makes the video projector think that it's turned itself off or something, and it won't recognize that it's plugged into something anymore. So when I start trying to play it again, it has to go through the process again of, you know, locating the video feed and blah, 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 and it takes like 15 seconds, and it just kind of ruins it. So after about the second video, I just told everyone, look, I'm just going to let them all play, and we'll talk about them afterwards. So, you know, and people were laughing at stuff, and I would occasionally, like, when there was pauses where I could shout stuff, I'd, like, give them, like, you know, it's like, you know, I can't even think of an example, but I would just kind of shout quick pieces of information, you know, of like, oh, this is a commercial for the Funkcast, you know, or whatever. So, so when the sketch called Lukeski Cereal played, it got a lot of laughs, but there was one guy in particular who just lost his shit at the Lukeski Cereal thing. And it, when it got to the end of it and the little credits were playing, he was like, play it again. And I'm like thinking to myself, sir, I have just established that I'm going to let these things continue to play. I can't go back. I just, you know, whatever. So, you know, fast forward to the end of the whole thing. He asked to see it again, and I showed it to him one more time. He basically said that he was laughing so hard that he missed, you know, all the jokes in the second half of the piece because he was laughing so hard. So, and if you think about it, Marcon, as I said before, with people there from the past thinking that I was an obnoxious person who's always promoting myself, the showing them the Skeeties bit is probably like the perfect audience for that bit. So. But yeah, I showed all the puppet videos, and people really liked them. Some of the folks, or some of the people running the Filk Track there said somebody went up to them and asked them if they could ask me to come to OVFF and do, like, a panel on music video production, which I'd totally be willing to do if I end up going to OVFF. I'm just surprised that Filkers would want to make music videos. I mean, Filkers that aren't named Adam or Rand, you know, would want to make music videos. So, but we'll see what happens with that. So, you know, that went really well. And then I was manning the table during Tom Smith's concert and Toy Boat's concerts, which, from what I heard, both went really well. And then I did my concert at 4, and it went good. I had an audience of at least, like, 30 people throughout the whole show, and, things went well. People laughed at things, and people liked When You Wish Upon a Death Star, so that was great. I will tell you the short version of this because I already told the long version in the previous segment, so the listeners of the podcast have already heard the story, but I broke my personal record as an adult for sneaking in a unique food to a movie theater. Because okay. Between 6 p.m. and 10 p.m., I had nothing to do. I looked at the map of the area. I saw there was a movie theater, and I'm like, oh, I'll go hit BD's Mongolian Barbecue, eat there, and then go to the movie theater and see the movie Admission. So I went to the BD's, and things took too long there. So I basically told them, well, look, can I just get this to go? I'll have to finish eating it later. So they did, and I took it to the theater, and when I got in the theater, I realized where I was sitting lent itself to me opening the food and eating it. So I ate BD's Mongolian Barbecue in the movie theater.
Wow.
So that's my new record as an adult for sneaking food into theaters. So
that's going to be hard to beat.
Yeah.
You have to, like, find
it was totally by accident. That was not my intended plan when I went to BD's, but it was like, it just kind of unfolded that way. So
that might be the only reason it worked.
And then went back to the Filk Room Saturday night, and I had kind of a strategy that night. I was like, I'm not going to try to – I was basically going to sit back and let other people perform and wait for somebody to point out that I hadn't done a song yet. So basically about two passes went around with people, and then someone said, hey, Luke, you haven't done a song? I'm like, oh, okay. And then I performed When You Wish Upon a Death Star. Which
is a funny thing to, like, kind of a highfalutin thing to do when you're like, oh, well, I suppose I'll do something.
Well, yeah, because it's like, I mean, usually in the past, like, when I wanted to perform something like one of the It's a Fanboy Christmas medleys, I'd specifically tell people, hey, I want to do this song, but it's quite long, so I want to let more people go before I do my song because I don't want to be hogging people's time or whatever. And, you know, they've been fine with that. But this time around, I'm like, well, it's a 6.5-minute track. I don't think I need to make that disclaimer necessarily. I'll just wait until somebody specifically points me out, and then I'll perform it. So, but, you know. Sorry, Sarah's here, and Abby has been particularly vocal the past few days, just running around and meowing for no reason. So.
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen the photos, but I've had the same issue.
What, you're running around and meowing for no reason?
Yes, what. No, Spiral, he's what they call vocal.
Ah. So, so yeah, and actually, I'm trying to think of what are the other... because I'm starting to get to the point where I'm feeling a bit silly going to these folk circles, and for years and years, I've been pretty much stuck to my own library of music. So I've made an effort... since I got back from Marcon in working on my my iBook and my iPod, or not on my iBook, my MacBook and my iPod, to try to find as many background tracks to other people's songs as I could find so that I actually have other people's songs to perform in filk rooms. But at Marcon, I did have enough music on me left over from Marcon and MarsCon and other things. So I did In the 80s by Devo Spice. I know I did Vacuum Cleaner Hoses. I performed the Hogan medley solo, which was an interesting thing to try to pull off, but people seemed to dig it. God, what else? Oh, somebody, like, late Saturday night, like, actually had a request for me, and the way she phrased it was, can you do one of the songs off of your Star Wars album that's not Grease Wars? Which is an interesting way to put it, because the quote-unquote Star Wars album was basically a CDR album I made the summer of, I think it was 2005.
Oh.
Basically just to capitalize on the fact that, you know, Episode 3 had come out. I had just made Vader Boy and Grease Wars and Star Wars prequel Homesick Blues. So basically it was like, you know, me trying to supplement my income. And I probably released it at Marcon. So, you know, it's not something I put into regular circulation. Although Ian called me the other day because I was talking on one of the podcasts about how I was thinking of getting started at Bandcamp. And he called me to say that he thought that me putting out the old compilations like that, like the Star Wars one and the Star Trek one and the cartoon one, would make a lot of sense for me to do on Bandcamp.
He's right about that. The Eduardo Lantern Halloween EP thing worked out pretty well for me.
Yeah, so I'm gonna make efforts to, you know, at the very least get my regular albums up on Bandcamp, and then I'll decide what I want to do with the rest later. But anyway, I just thought it was funny that she phrased the question that way, and I believe I performed Star Wars Trilogy Homesick Blues for her. So.
Cool.
And then Sunday, you know, really nothing happened except me setting up the, you know, merch table and selling stuff. And the weird thing was that even though last year I didn't sell anything at the con until my concert, which was like 10 a.m. on Easter Sunday morning. And then this year I had the table at the convention all weekend, plus a concert on Saturday afternoon, and I actually made less money this year than I did last year. So that's kind of a, I definitely lost money this weekend because I spent more on hotel and gas and food and stuff, you know, being a part of the con, you know, than I was able to, you know, I didn't even break even on the trip. So it's kind of, you know, like, especially now that there's people there that are enthusiastic about getting people from the FUMP to show up, I want to get that going, but it's hard for me to personally justify continuing to show up there when I'm not breaking even and I'm, in fact, losing money on showing up at the convention. So I don't know what exactly I'm going to do, but, you know, even if for whatever reason I decide that I can't make it to the con myself, I still want to facilitate getting other FUMPers there to, you know, keep that going, and maybe I'll show up every other year or something. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But you know, so it's kind of like, unfortunately, not a financial, you know, win, but, you know, generally speaking, an overall win for Marcon when it came to, you know, doing some good programming and having some fun and hanging out with some friends. So yeah, that was my Marcon experience. So thank you for being a person to react to things, as I tell.
Hold on. Let me give you that reaction.
Okay.
What?
Yes.
I had a stroke.
I actually emailed Dr. Demento. Actually, I sent it in as a request from his website, asking if that guy had done any like novelty records, and he responded.
Which I have to assume he did.
Well, yeah, he responded to it by telling me that he didn't, he couldn't think of any that he could remember that that guy did, but he was going to ask around. So maybe if somebody finds, you know, some kind of thing, then
yeah, he was so ubiquitous at the time. But I mean, besides having his own thing, I've listened to quite a few Jack Benny shows, and he was a frequent guest.
So, hey, let's do comments now.
Comments go at whatever portion of the show Luke puts this in.
Yes, and the first comment is from TV's Kyle.
What?
Yes.
I don't know what I said anymore.
And here's what Kyle said. Kyle said, fun fact, that Adventure Time Mad magazine cover was drawn by Chris Houghton. Chris does most of the covers for the actual Adventure Time comic book, including this one where he snuck an appearance by Frog, Raccoon, Strawberry. And then he has the picture link. Chris and I were co-workers at Fanboy and Chum Chum. And yeah, I did see that comic book at one of the comic book conventions Sarah and I went to. So yeah, that was very epic of him. Do you have other things to add to that?
No.
Okay.
Not at the moment.
All right.
But Chris is awesome and does many, many Adventure Time covers besides continuing to work in animation and occasionally doing something for Mad Magazine. So it was just kind of interesting that those things came together.
Cool. And our final comment is from Squirrel Girl, who says, if you're looking for a store of who knows what, this place is rather random and has a couple stores around Chicago. And then she has a link for a place called SciPlus.com, SCIPLUS.com. So there's your comments.
There's your comments. You happy?
Well, thank you for being on the show, and I'll see you in a few days.
See you soon. And I have a longish email to send you as soon as I'm done with Strawberry.
All right, cool. I will talk to you later.
Bye,
talk
Kyle.
To you later.
Sarah says, bye, Kyle.
Bye, Sarah.
Bye.
Stow away. Come with Luke. You can both hang out on the couch.
I have to work.
No.
It's dumb.
All right, see ya.
Bye.
Bye.
Met you in biology. High school. You told me after college we'd be wed. You were my favorite lab partner till you ran off with that brilliant young pre-med. My pain would show up on a CAT scan. My optic nerves are only seeing blue. My blood hates to flow because it has to go through the four-chambered heart that cries for you. Line carbohydrates. The rods and cones of my optical receptors are filled with tears. I wanted to elope so we could make some isotopes with a half-life of a million thousand years. If I suspended my tracheal dilations till you returned here, my muscles would need ATP anaerobic respiration. adenine, cytosine, guanine, and thionine might make up my DNA. But my love gene must be missing from its station. I'm in the lonely lab of broken hearts. I dissect the way you say goodbye until it falls apart. I'm in the lonely pheromones can find no trace of you.
The metallurgist is the musician's best friend. This statement has been echoed throughout the ages. For without the metallurgist, we could not have such musical things as triangles, cymbals, margarine tubs, or guitar strings. Guitar strings are produced by the wire drawing process, where solid metal is pulled through a series of dies with progressively smaller diameters until the desired diameter or gauge is reached. The ability to be drawn into wires is called ductility, and separates metals from other materials such as wood, ceramics, or plastic milk jugs, which are made by a blow molding process. You put the milk in later.
I'm in the lonely lab of broken hearts. I dissect the way you say goodbye until it falls apart. I'm in the lonely. My pheromones can find no trace of you. And my pheromones can find no trace of you.
U stands for uranium. There are several isotopes of uranium, three of which are radioactive.
Folks ride like the wind, with the whispering pines to guide them, and the burning light inside them keeps them warm in the snow. Others fear the sounds they hear, make banditos out of molehills, fill their hearts with porcupine quills. They're dead and buried long before they go. Charlton Heston movies are no longer in demand, and his immortal soul may lay forever in the sand. The angels wouldn't take him up to heaven like he planned, 'cause they couldn't pry that gun from his cold dead hand. It takes a cold dead hand to decide to pull the trigger. Takes a cold dead heart, and as near as I can figure, with your cold dead aim, you're trying to prove your dick is bigger. But we know your chariot may not be swinging low. Cold dead hand, cold dead hand, cold dead hand. A big, big man with a little mini glance, so you need something bigger just to fill your cold dead hand. Imagine if the Lord were here and he knew what you've been thinking. Would his sacred heart be sinking into the canyon of dismay? And on the one sell the guns, he'd sick the vultures and coyotes. Only the devil's true devotees could profiteer from pain and fear. Charlton Heston movies are no longer in demand, and
his immortal soul may lay forever in the sand. The angels wouldn't take him up to heaven like he planned, 'cause they couldn't pry that gun from his cold dead hand. It takes a cold dead hand to decide to pull the trigger. It takes a cold dead heart, and as near as I can figure, with your cold dead aim, you're trying to prove your junk is bigger. But we know your chariot may not be swinging low. Little bitty glance, so you need something bigger with a hairpin trigger. You don't want to get caught with your trousers down when the psycho killer comes around. So you make your home like a thunderdome, and you're always packing everywhere you roam. But the psychos win no matter what you do, 'cause they're gonna buy way more guns than you. And while you're stumbling out of bed, they put 5 rounds in the back of your head, or you get depressed 'cause the money went south, and you put your old shotgun in your mouth, and your kids walk in, and they find you there like a headless lump in your underwear, and they move the gun, and it kills them too, and your wife just doesn't know what else to do, so she takes a hand grenade from her shoe, and she falls off, and it's all on you. And your cold dead hand.
What's bootlogging now?
Hello there, Dr. Demento here. A new documentary is being made about me and the Dr. Demento Show. Under the Smogberry Trees is the title, and it will be filled with new interviews, vintage video, and original animation, plus lots of me, Dr. D. The film is on Kickstarter.com right now, so don't forget to donate, don't forget to tell your friends, and most important, don't forget to stay demented.
Yes, like the good doctor just said, Under the Smogberry Trees is the first ever feature-length documentary about the legendary DJ Dr. Demento. It will be an engaging filmed history of the Dr. Demento Show from its humble start at revolutionary radio station KPBC-FM in Pasadena, California, and up to date at drdemento.com, covering the lasting impact of funny music on popular culture, and including current interviews with Dementites, the famous and the nearly famous, connected to and or inspired by the show over its 4 decades and counting. Besides Barry Hansen, a.k.a. Dr. Demento, Barnes & Barnes, Bill Frenzer, Tom T-Bone Stankus, Whimsical Will, and Sulu, the documentary will also include involvement from such fump acts as the great Luke Ski, Throwing Toasters, Devo Spice, Power Salad, Insane Ian, and MC Lars. Meep Morp Studio is trying to raise $100,000 over the next 30 days, ending Saturday, May 4th, to fund this awesome film. There are many great prizes for donating, so please go to their website and read all about it. Donate something if you can, and spread the word about it to all your comedy music-loving friends online. Sarah and I donated, and so should you. And yes, they're going to be continuing to add more and more awesome prizes to the Kickstarter, so go to kickstarter.com, do a search for Smogberry Trees or Dr. Demento or whatever, and I'm sure you'll find it right away. And just so that you all know where they currently are at, let me just type in... they are at $19,598 of their $100,000 goal. So they are just under 20% of the way there. They have 22 days to go. So, you know, it's still quite a ways to go, but it can be done. So please donate something if you can. And if you got friends online who are fans of the Dr. Demento Show, please encourage them to go to this Kickstarter and donate something as well. Again, Under the Smogberry Trees, the true story of Dr. Demento. Look it up on Kickstarter and donate something. And speaking of which, the Dr. Demento Show. It's still awesome. It's still the best show ever. You should still be listening to the new episodes he posts every week over at drdemento.com. You can listen to them for $2 for the low-quality stream or $4 for the high-quality stream. Or you can sign up for the Demento Online Club like I have and get the high-quality stream every week plus bonus episodes. Or credits for more episodes that you can download from the archive of over 700 shows from the past. It's totally awesome. And while I'm at it, plugging the Dr. Demento Show, besides listening, you could always request a song. And what song could you request? Oh, I don't know. How about When You Wish Upon a Death Star for the Dr. Demento Show by me, the great Luke Ski. Last month, it was not on the top 10 at all. It was number 1, and then number 1, and then number 2, and then it dropped off completely. So please go to drdemento.com/request and request When You Wish Upon a Death Star by the great Luke Ski. Please, please, please do it. It would mean a lot to me. Continuing on, What's at the Fump? What's at the Fump? What's at that Fump? Surprise! Right now, at the Fump, we have Letter from a Cruise Ship, Hello Mudda, Hello Fada 2013 by Power Salad. Where It's At, 8-Bit Booyah by TV's Kyle. We played that in the last episode of Bad Rapport. Actually, we played the original version. This is the 8-bit version. Yeah, clarification. Cupcake by Steve Goody. This is what happens when you give Logan a medley by The Fump. Yes, the thing you heard earlier in this very show. That was put together by me for the opening ceremony of the Logan Awards. And now this is the full-on studio version featuring 10 different acts from The Fump, including myself and Carrie. Go to thefump.com right now. Download it for free. It's awesome. And look up Logan Whitehurst while you're at it, because he's awesome. Continuing, Quantum Entanglement by Glenn Raphael, Best Game Ever by Mikey Mason, we played that on a recent episode of Bad Rapport, Loneliest Male Stripper in the Mid-Ohio Valley by Bonecage, and finally, Drew Barrymore's Clothes by Insane Ian. All of those on the main page of thefump.com right now. You can download them for free, so do that. TheGreatLukeSki.com. Hey, that's my website. You can go there and you can order CDs and or get MP3 versions of my album. Nobody's done that in quite a while, so, you know. You know, it's something you can go do. Also, you can order art from me at ArtByLukeSki.com. That's my website for caricatures, cartooning, and other stuff, which will hopefully get... at the very least, add some more recent artwork to it, because I haven't done that in a couple of years, I don't think. So, there's that, artbylukeski.com. Hey, are you one of those people who went to MarsCon, or wished you went to MarsCon, and you wanted to listen to some of the podcast coverage? Well, I've been posting the links to all of the podcast coverage episodes for MarsCon over at MarsConDementia.com. So there's Bad Rapport, the Flopcast, there's Pros and Cons podcast, there's The Scope, there's even the Flat 29's Big Book of Everything episode on America, which was recorded live at MarsCon. All the links to those are up at MarsConDementia.com. I think the only podcast we're still waiting on, it would be Blasted Bill and Moonbeam's Pod of Destiny. So whenever Bill can get around to posting that, that would be awesome so that I can add that to the list. So yeah, and while you're at it, if you went to MarsCon and had a great time, please go fill out their survey. It's at marscon.org/2014/survey.php. Again, marscon.org/2014/survey.php. Let them know what you thought of the con. Speaking of podcasts, there's the Funny Music Podcast, which I do every week with Devo Spice. You can hear that at thefump.com/podcast.php. And in the episode that we just recorded earlier tonight, we interviewed Devin and Scott from the Smogberry Trees documentary, so you can hear all about that, plus TV's Kyle, and he's always fun. So yeah, the Funny Music Podcast, check it out at thefump.com/podcast.php. Tour dates. Next tour date for all of you who donated to my Kickstarter. Well, first of all, I should say there's my tour date out in Fullerton, California, mowing Bob Matthews' lawn and doing a house concert for him, but that's a private event. What is still technically a private event, but a bit more public, than the other one would be LuxGeekCon 2013, happening in Chicagoland, USA, June 21st, 22nd, and 23rd of this year, 2013. The website for that is LuxGeekCon.com. It's a private party and concert event being held exclusively for the people who donated to my Kickstarter last year. Donors, contact me to get the password to the website so you can get the details on making your hotel reservations and more information as it is figured out. I'm going to get on the ball organizing more stuff with LuxGeekCon once I get back from my LA trip. But yeah, basically, right now, the main things you need to know are the information for getting your hotel room reservation, which is at LuxGeekCon.com, if you got the password. So if you're a donor and you haven't gotten the password yet, contact me and I'll hook you up with it. Other conventions, I haven't officially announced these yet on my website, but I'm probably going to be doing some sort of show at DuckCon. I don't know when. I'll figure that out and let you know. That's in Chicagoland the weekend after LuxGeekCon. 4th of July weekend, there's Convergence out in the Twin Cities, and I will be performing at the Harmonic Convergence track on Friday night at 7 p.m., I think, if I remember correctly. So, yeah, I'm psyched to be going back there, and Sarah will be there, too. And can you tell it's late at night and that Sarah's in the next room sleeping and I'm trying to be quiet and I'm tired? Yeah. So, Ozfest 6, O-S-F-E-S-T 6, which, and the website for that is osfes.org. They took the T out of it for the website, osfes.org. Yeah, that is the Ramada Plaza Omaha Hotel and Convention Center. It's almost like some kind of Hawaiian tongue twister. Ramada Plaza Omaha. Ramada Plaza Omaha Hotel. And Convention Center, Omaha, Nebraska, July 26th, 27th, and 28th. I'll be a guest of honor there, and I'll be doing performing and stuff, and Sarah will be with me. Hooray! And then, of course, Gen Con Indie is happening again. I'll be doing my Judging Time Entertainment of the Costume Contest, and Friday Night Live is coming back again. We're going to be in a bigger room with an actual stage and a sound system this year, so that's awesome, and hopefully I'll be doing a solo concert as well as usual on Saturday night, and hanging out in the dealer room with all the usual suspects. So, yes, please come check out all that at Gen Con Indy. And, you know, that's pretty much it for the summer tour dates. If more come up, I'll let you know. But right now I haven't gotten into the fall because I got to learn how to do GarageBand so I can finish an album in time to release at Gen Con Indy. So I guess that'll close out the show. So I'll remind you people to make comments by going to badreport.com, BADREPPORT.com, and leaving a comment for this episode. You could also leave us a voicemail at 916-LUKESKI. That's 916-585-3754. No one's done that in a while. And I forgot to check iTunes reviews, so I'll just save that for next time. Yeah. So that is about it for Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. Thanks for tuning in for this short, hastily thrown together episode, simply to make sure we had an episode because we're not going to be able to do another one for like a good two and a half weeks. So thanks for tuning in. I'm going to close the show by playing some music from the classic years of the Dr. Demento show. Just to remind you once again, please go to the Kickstarter for Under the Smogberry Trees. Donate some money to the Dr. Demento Show. If he has in any way brought joy and happiness to your life, please kick a few bucks into this thing so that we can make this this awesome potential documentary happen. So I'll play some music and you can think about your awesome memories growing up listening to Dr. D or listening to his compilation albums and just thinking how much better your life is for Dr. Demento having existed. So there you go. Thanks again. Oh, one more thing. Damn it, I've almost forgot. I've been meaning to mention this for weeks. I wanted to thank three of our listeners, specifically Onib and Sean and Gary, because they took on that task of helping create a spreadsheet with all of the songs that I've ever played on Bad Rapport so that I could have a reference so that I make sure I'm not replaying songs that I've already played before. So they helped complete that list in the past month or so. We've been continuing to add to it. I've asked them if they'd help me out even more on a personal level by adding what year each of the songs came out to go along with my my new mixtaping hyperspasm project. So a big special thank you to Onib and Sean and Gary for doing all that work. I really appreciate it. Super, super epic and awesome. And Carrie wanted me to plug, I'll read the message from her on my phone. Please, please, please plug DJ Twitch, who desperately needs more votes to stay in the Spring Awakening DJ contest. And then she has a URL of bit.ly/DJ Twitch. Twitch, like the way it's normally spelled, like you're being twitchy. So bit.ly/DJ Twitch. Go there and vote for him, because it would make Carrie happy. So, again, all right, now I'm really wrapping up the show. Going out with music from the Dr. Demento classic years. Listen to it, have some warm fuzzies, then go to Kickstarter, donate to the Smogberry Trees documentary, and make the world a better place. Thank you all so much for listening to Bad Rapport. This is Luke Ski. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Eleanor Rigby picks up the mice in the Eleanor Rigby raises the price, chops up the ice. Eleanor Rigby looks for the light, but I'm trying to sing a song. All I want to do is do Eleanor. Oh, I'll do it myself.
Look at all the lonely people.
Eleanor Rigby eats all the rice in the church where her wedding had been. No, not eats all the rice. Eleanor Rigby picks up the dice, raises the price, chops up the ice, traffics in vice. Oh, no, no, no. Kills all the mice in the church. So that would be cruel. Maybe I better start again. Eleanor Rigby picked up the rice in the church where her wedding had been. Lives in a dream, waits by the window, wearing a face that she keeps in the jar by the door. That's strange. Most of my friends wear their faces on their head. Who is it for? All the lonely people. Where do they all come from? All the lonely people. Where do they all belong? Father Mackenzie writing the words to a sermon that no one will hear. No one is near. Look at him working, darning his socks in the night when there's nobody there. What a weirdo priest this guy is. First he writes a sermon for a bunch of deaf people, then he turns off the lights in his room and darns socks. Can't you just hear him in the dark with those sharp needles? Knit one, ouch. Pearl two, ooh, knit one, ouch. Pearl two, ouch. No wonder they call him the Band-Aid Bishop. Oh, the song. No one's to care, all the lonely people. Where do they all come from? All the bony people, no, all the ornery, all the ugly people, the pugly repo, I'm a creepo, a go climb a steeple, no, 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 oh, where do they all belong? Eleanor Rigby, Catherine Figby, Gwendolyn Bugley, Bugby, let's go play rugby, Madeline Snagby, Clustering Hugby, you know, Harriet Gentry, Victor Borgi, Liberace, Thomas Dewey, Rudy Valley, Mike Mazurki, Albuquerque, have some jerky, you're a turkey. Eleanor Rigby died in the church and was buried along with her name. Nobody came. Speaking of churches, did you hear about the religious skunk who went to church each Sunday and sat in his own pew? Did you hear about the frustrated duck? He couldn't get his down up. Father Mackenzie, wiping the dirt from his hand as he works from the grave. There's that funky Mackenzie guy again. Not only he writes punk sermons and louses up his socks, but he can't even throw dirt straight. You dig 16 ton and what do you get? Filthy! Ready for the biz bag. Oh, look at all the lonely people. All the lonely people. Where do they all belong? Oh, my little hand.
Can't find me out of my living room.
Oh, Popeye!
Wow!
When I get my hands on that Popeye, I'll break every bone in his across the sea. Bye-bye, olive oil and a little sweet pea. Riding on the waves of fantasy. Popeye don't smoke the ganja weed. Olive oil and spinach is all he needs. Oh, olive oil.
My love, me olive oil. She is me only girl. Oh, wow. Olive oil. I don't like the oil that comes from the ground. Olive, she's the best I found. I don't like the opaque crude. Olive, she's me only lube. Olive oil.
I'm happy, I'm happy, I'm happy, I'm happy, I'm happy, I'm happy, and I'll punch the man who says I'm not. I'm happy, I'm happy, I'm happy, I'm happy, I'm happy, I'm happy, and I'll punch the man who says I'm not. I'm happy, I'm happy, punch. I'm happy, I'm happy, punch. I'm happy, I'm happy, I'm happy. Ugh.
Listening to Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
What's the matter with me?
Leave comments for this episode at badrapport.com or call 916-LUKE-SKI.